First, the additional $600 in unemployment benefits passed through the CARES Act have expired. As lawmakers in Congress decide on whether to reinstate the benefits or lower them, we'll take a look at their impact on Wisconsin's economy. Logan Kelly is a professor of economics at UW River Falls. Logan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Indeed, thanks for having me.
Well, these payments lapsed at the end of last month, a little before the end of the last month. What kind of immediate individual impacts are you watching for since they've shut down?
Well, in the immediate, we're going to start to see increased missed payments. So things like credit card payments, utility payments, rent payments. And that has the short-term impact of, number one, incurring additional fees. So going from owing a little bit to owing even more, as well as risking things such as utility shutoffs and evictions. So in the near term, one of the things I would be most worried about are increased food insecurity, particularly for amongst children, as well as increased housing insecurity.
That's the effect, the immediate effect on individuals. Do you see this having, given that we've got this higher than usual unemployment, do you see this having ripple effects throughout the wider economy?
Of course, because we have a segment of the population with now less disposable income, they're going to be spending less. And as a result of spending less, that reduces overall economic activity, lowering income for a wide range of businesses, especially some of our small businesses.
Yeah, do you worry about, I mean, even apart from this, are you worried about losing a lot of those small businesses in this tough economic time?
Well, yes, indeed. Part of the issue that we want to think about in terms of recovery from the pandemic once we get the virus under control is how much of that economic infrastructure, so to speak, do we lose? And when we lose a small business, we don't just lose the mom and pop bookstore that's on the downtown. We lose a viable business that's employing people where the managers of that business have gained both the connections, so the connections with banks and sources of financing, sources of suppliers, so supply chains, and sources for employees. They've gained all that knowledge, so all that human capital then is lost, and it takes time for that to build back. We lose that business. We may never get a particular business just like that back. Well, okay, in the long run, maybe that's not a big deal. But the issue is in the medium run, we have no business there, and it takes time for a new business to come in. So if we want speedy recovery after the COVID pandemic is over with, we really want to try to smooth out or bridge that gap for as many individuals and businesses, particularly small businesses, as we can.
Right. We saw things like the Paycheck Protection Program and other efforts to help businesses bridge the gap there, especially ones that had to shut down completely, like, you know, restaurants and bars. Did you see that having an impact? Do we still need that kind of thing now?
Absolutely, we need that kind of thing now. In particular, one of the things that we can look at is there's always going to be a time frame between an employer looking for a new employee and an out-of-work worker finding that job. So there's this search process that goes through. If we can skip the search process and simply keep the connection between the employee and the employer, that recovery or that restart once we get the virus under control is going to be much smoother and much quicker. On top of that, when we think about this kind of search mechanism, there's some longer run impacts that can happen due to this lack of the lapse in the $600 unemployment benefit, in that when the person loses or misses the payment, that can affect their credit ratings. And that's one of the pretty standard screening methods for employment. It affects what you pay for different products like insurance. It also affects whether you're able to get future financing. Say they want to go start a business, it would affect their ability to do that. And so it's more than just the short run impacts that we're seeing. We're going to see long run impacts that are even more significant if we can't bridge that gap, both for individuals and businesses.
Talking to Logan Kelly, professor of economics at UW River Falls, about the end or lapse, depending on how this all shakes out, in enhanced unemployment benefits at the federal level. Let's bring on a caller now. We've got Steve with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, one of the challenges we're looking at right now is that we have a debt load that is just incredible. And that $600 pandemic payment, I did the math right when I was looking at our employees at my company. If you're making, I believe it was about $23 an hour or less, you were better off being on unemployment in the state of Wisconsin. But with that being eliminated, a lot of these people are going to go back to work. And if you don't, what the guest is advocating is just borrowing from our kids' future to pay for people who don't want to work. So can the guest please comment on that and reconcile how that's in the best interest long term?
Steve, thanks for the call. Before you respond, I want to give a listen to a Republican senator from Ohio, Rob Portman, talking to CNBC along the same lines. Here's a listen.
Because it's already a disincentive to work, the $600, but it certainly creates an additional disincentive as the economy begins to reopen even further and there's more and more demand for labor.
So this extra money, a disincentive for people going back to work, Logan.
You know, at some point it might become so. Currently, I don't see it as, I really just don't see that. In the month of July, we had, we have nationwide 16 million people unemployed. I'm not going to say all of those people are not going back to work because of the $600 benefit. The issue is we have fewer jobs than we have people seeking those jobs. And until we see the economy start back up, and we're not going to see a full startup of the economy until the virus is under control, it's just not going to really be a binding constraint. Once we get the economy going, then yeah, I agree. There is certainly theoretical issues with it for certain segments of the population. But let's also keep that in perspective. You need to make approximately $48,500 before anyone who makes $48,500 or more in the state of Wisconsin is actually going to see a pay reduction if they're unemployed and then unable to and on unemployment benefits with the extra $600. So anyone making less than $48,500 approximately, and I won't dispute the caller's more exact calculation. There is a point where below which you will make a little bit more. But if we do a little basic math in estimating basic cost of living in the state of Wisconsin, you need about $33,600 a year to be able to support both paying for taxes and paying living expenses if you live in an average two-bedroom apartment, which in the state of Wisconsin costs somewhere between $750 and $800 a month. At a wage of that amount, if you go on unemployment with a $600 benefit, then you'd have approximately $260 extra a week, more than what you made before. Well, first of all, I know very few people who wouldn't rather work, even though they are going to make a little more money on unemployment. Second of all, we've seen in the pandemic various issues where we have increased costs. For one thing, if you're unemployed, you may be out insurance. And so your healthcare costs may go up fairly significantly. So I really don't see that as a particular disincentive as of yet. In terms of the debt load, one of the things that's really been almost fortunate or almost a silver lining around this, I'm not sure it's appropriate to call it a silver lining here, is that the national savings rate, so private savings, has skyrocketed. So in the month of the last month that was recorded, I believe it was July is the data that's out, the savings rate was 19%. In the month of June alone, private savings was $3.3 trillion, which is enough to offset even the biggest plan that has been put forward so far. So essentially, at this point, even though we've had some questionable fiscal policy over the last couple of years, we're kind of going to get away with it because of national savings has gone up such that it won't be the kind of inflationary pressures that we would worry about in more normal conditions.
Logan, in our last minute, what are you watching for next?
I'm really watching for I'm really keeping close eyes on vaccines. So when we get to a point where we can really, truly, safely reopen and get back to a more new normal, that's really when we're going to see true economic recovery. But in the near term, we have to remember that expectations and genuine fear is motivating a lot of consumer decisions right now. And when we look at second quarter GDP basically cratering the way it did, I prefer to use the year over year because it looks a little bit better at 9.5% loss year over year. We see having consistency in policy. So not having lapses in a $600 benefit is much, much better than, oh, we have this benefit, but we don't know if it's going to go through until the pandemic is taken care of. We really need to have some consistency and, to the extent that we can, reduce the amount of uncertainty in people's lives so that there isn't as much fear.
And we'll have to leave it there. Logan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's economist Logan Kelly from UW River Falls. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.